time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Cricket. I am learning cricket, and there was a match that dominated the conversation before and afterwards within these last 24 hours. Ahmedabad Stadium, named for Narendra Modi, the very popular, powerful Prime Minister of India right now. 130,000 was the estimate, even though the stadium only seats 100,000. A match between Australia's team and India's team. India's team undefeated in the World Cup championship run-up. 10 teams, each playing each other once, and then the top two play for the championship. I did not see the game live. However, I did see summaries that were fed through by London press. So now that I've seen it and now that I know what happened, I need to understand why it happened and what I'm watching. So I welcome Tunku Varadarajan. He's a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He's also a fellow at the Classical Liberal Institute in NYU School of Law and the Center on Capitalism and Society at Columbia University, but and a contributor to the Wall Street Journal. Right now, he's my analyst of what I saw that I'm trying to figure out. I know this is a game, it's a test at the top level of all sports. Tunku, a very good day to you. India did not prevail, and Australia did. And I'm not quite sure why that happened, because all of the attention was to the domination of the India team that had already defeated Australia once in the run-up to this. Is there a single explanation other than the bounce of the ball? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Single explanations in sport are a dangerous thing, but I think since you asked me to, I will venture one here. And the single explanation here, it lies in a Greek word, which is hubris. And I think what happened was that this was meant to be a chronicle of a victory foretold. All of India, from the prime minister on down, were expecting the Indian team to win. The Indian team itself was expecting to win. The only people who hadn't told the Australians, against whom the Indians were playing, that India was going to win were the Australians themselves. The Australians were convinced that they were going to put up a good fight. And they won because India, through a combination of hubris and big stage fright, froze on the day and lost the game, much to everyone's surprise, except the Australians.
I've learned that the India players have been before big crowds all their lives. I think there was an estimate of some of these game tests have 100 million people on TV and 100,000 in the stands. So it doesn't follow that the India team would be anxious about the moment. The crowd was extremely worshipful the whole time.
Well, I think the crowd can work both ways. Just as it can act as a spur to you to win, it can just as easily act as an additional burden on you. The expectation of 130,000 people in the ground and a billion people outside it weighs heavily on a cricketer's mind when he plays, especially if he's playing against 11 players who are just as good as he is, who don't have and aren't burdened by those expectations and therefore can play in a much more carefree manner. The Australians felt, we've got nothing to lose except the game, whereas the Indians felt, we have to lose not just the game, but the expectations of a billion of our countrymen. So I think the weight of expectations ground them down. I think it's as simple as that. It was big stage fright. India has not had a very good record in international cricket finals. It hasn't won a single one since 2011. That's 12 years now, in which it has been in multiple finals and lost them all. This was one final it was expected to win, because in the run-up to the match, there had been such excellent victors in every single game. But all it takes is one bad day and one loss, and you've lost the cup.
Let's speak of individual players. The batsman, Virat Kohli, was he disappointing because the crowd was cheering everything he did?
Yeah, he didn't have one of his best days. He batted better than some other people on the team. But this was one of those days where you have to concede as an Indian fan that India was outplayed, outthought, outsight by the Australians. The Australians came onto the field kind of ferociously determined to give India a run for its money. And they clearly engaged in some of the most meticulous chess-like planning. They had plans for every single batsman whom they'd studied carefully. They'd parsed his weaknesses, his strengths, and they played a game that curbed each batsman's strength and highlighted each batsman's weakness. And as a result, the Indians were suffocated by a very, very clever Australian performance.
What I understand about the rules, there are five-day tests, there are 20 over games that are over in an evening, and there are 50 over tests or matches or contests or games that are over in 6 to 8 hours. And that's what we were witnessing yesterday. Tunku, I don't know the answer to this, so I ask a simple question. Who decides who goes up first? Is that a flip of the coin? Is that a strategy move?
Yeah, it's a good question for the uninitiated. There's something called a toss, in which a coin is tossed and heads and tails are called. One captain usually gets to call heads or tails. And if he wins the toss, he then gets to decide whether his side bats first or whether his side bowls first. And the Australian captain, a man called Pat Cummins, called the toss correctly. He won, and he decided that Australia were going to field first. He took a look at the wicket, which looked a little slow and abrasive, and he felt that he would be able to restrict India's run scoring on a wicket like that, on a pitch like that. And he was correct. India were contained. They scored only 240 runs, which is not at all sufficient to put the next side batting under pressure. You know, India had scored well in excess of 350 and nearly 400 runs in previous games. And here it was, restricted to 240, which is a very, very below par score. And so Pat Cummins called the strategy correctly, restricted India to 240. And then he and his batsmen knocked the runs off with great aplomb. India was outthought and out-strategized.
Yes, it seemed extremely likely that Australia was going to win after the announcers that I was listening to, not in real time, kept saying 240 and out, 240 and out. And I thought, what does this mean? Is 240 a low number? It turns out it's a low number when you're against a team that's as good as you are. It's the day after now, or the day after. Are there likely to be changes in the India format lineup because of the way it came out?
No, I don't think there are going to be any kind of swinging changes, because everyone acknowledges that the Indian team is a very good one. And it just happened to have had a bad day against very good opponents. So it's not as if they were rolled over by inferior opponents. They had tough Australian cricketers to play against, and they lost on a day when the Australians just played better. So I don't think we're going to have a kind of French Revolution-style kind of rolling of the heads in Indian cricket. I think the reaction is going to be a mature one, in which people shrug their shoulders and acknowledge that they lost on the day. But politically, it was a disaster, because it was meant to be, it was meant to give Mr. Modi, who was present at the ground, an occasion on which he came onto the stage and awarded the cup to the Indian captain, and was able to then tell the world that India was the champion,
right,
and that India under the BJP is a world-class outfit and a world-class place. Instead, he had the chagrin of having to hand the cup over to Pat Cummins, the Australian skipper, which Mr. Modi did with extremely bad grace, I have to say, because he handed this was clearly not part of the script. And so he handed the cup over on the stage to Mr. Cummins, and then immediately turned his back and walked away instead of standing there for a few minutes, grinning and posing for pictures. It was a very kind of graceless occasion. And he was there with the Australian Deputy Prime Minister, whose name I can't remember. He invited Mr. Albanese, who's the Australian PM, to come too. But Mr. Albanese, I think in a strategic miscalculation, felt he should send the Deputy Prime Minister instead, because India was going to win. So it's best to send the Deputy PM. as it turns out, India lost, and Mr. Albanese lost the chance of being on stage with Mr. Modi, handing the cup over to his own countrymen.
Tunku Varadarajan, my guide on what I witnessed, the highest level of the game, spectacular cricket. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Ah, greetings from my bath, festive friends. The holidays are overwhelming, but I'm tackling this season with PayPal and making the most of my money, getting 5% cash back when I pay in four. No fees, no interest. I used it to get this portable spa with jets. Now the bubbles can cling to my sculpted but pruny body. Make the most of your money this holiday with PayPal. Save the offer in the app.
Ends 12/31. See paypal.com/promo terms. Points can be redeemed for cash and more. Pay in four, subject to terms and approval. PayPal Inc. and MLS 910457.
What does Zyn really give you? Not just smoke-free nicotine satisfaction, but also real freedom to do more of what you love, when and where you want to do it. Why bring Zyn along for the ride? Because America's number one nicotine pouch opens up all the possibilities of right now. With Zyn, you don't just find freedom, you keep finding it. Find your Zyn. Learn more at Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.